Dark Wraith Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 2 for Autumn Semester 2011. Lecture 24, delivered on December 7, 2011. The title of this lecture is Review for the Final Exam.
Today, review for the final exam. Three parts, just like exams one and two. The structure is identical. Part one is 30 multiple choice questions. Part two is, of course, your workout. And part three is your short essays. You will answer 5 of 7 on the final. 5 of 7. So that gives you a little more leeway because there's always at least one, sometimes two, where you're not going to be able to, you just can't formulate the answer that you want, so you'll have some latitude there. Let me work my way through the grinder. Part one, the questions, the multiple choice. Half of them, approximately half of them, I will simply copy and paste from exams one and two. I'll just pull them right off there for you. The ones that you missed the most, of course, or that are at core objectives of this course. Like, for example, you'll recall that a multiple choice question was there about you had to calculate a net present value, an NPV. All I want you to do is show me that you know how to do that on your calculator. And there will be the internal rate of return question that followed that one. You'll have that pair, obviously, in the multiple choice. Other questions, other areas that I will probe in the multiple choice. I will probe the Federal Reserve System, open market operation, tools of monetary policy, structure of the Fed. Again, I will probe the your knowledge of the Federal Reserve System, open market operations, tools of monetary policy, and the structure of the Fed. In that regard, do expect that I will have you show me that you understand how the money supply is affected by Federal Reserve actions, buying and selling, adding and draining and adding liquidity to the system, the relationship between the discount rate and the federal funds rate, regulation and supervision of the markets, the members of the Federal Open Market Committee, all of that. I will anticipate that you will get at least three, possibly more questions about the Fed because it's so important to us in business, whether we like it or not. I will ask you about business structures on this in the multiple choice. Sole proprietorship, partnership, corporation. What is a public offering? How is it done? Where would I go in the Edgar system to find audited financial statements? What is the Edgar system? What's the difference between being a domiciled corporation and being a foreign corporation? I should just put the final exam up on the overhead so you can see it. No.
I'll ask you about agency cost and the agency dilemma itself. But I will ask you a question. I'll give you a scenario where an agency cost is being extracted, and I'll ask you which one it is.
I'll ask you to show me some of your understanding of what ratios mean in ratio analysis. I will obviously ask you to price to find the yield on a treasury bill. That was the first calculation I did in this class. You'll recall when I early back when we were all still young and we were in love. And that first day when I started putting numbers on the board and you thought, well, actually the teacher sucks. It wasn't a hard problem, but I want you to know how to do a quick calculation of a T-bill yield, a one-year T-bill yield. I want you to know terminology so that when you leave this class, you can talk like you understand what the hell you're saying. So I will ask about financial intermediation possibly. What does liquidity mean? Possibly I'll probe those kinds of understandings in you. What are the terms relevant to a bond? The risk structure of an interest rate and the real rate of return, expected inflation premium. What are the terms of the risk structure? They are the default premium, the maturity premium, and the illiquidity premium. And I will probe in some way your understanding of those. I'm looking at the exam now. Oh, God, did I ask that? Wow. Oh, sorry. Cost. You need to know the different cost words. What's the difference between accounting cost and economic cost? What is sunk cost? What is the most important cost that we contemplate in finance that is nowhere in accounting? What is it? Does anyone know? Oh, I love it when you talk like that. Yes. Makes me feel dirty. Yes. Opportunity cost, the cost of the best foregone alternative. Direct cost is what comes out of your pocket. Opportunity cost is what does not go into your pocket. So in other words, when you are engaging in a business enterprise, you are a cost because you could have been doing something else with your life. So the equity represents a cost even though it's not being paid out. I'll probably hit you with something about marginal cost of capital and weighted average cost of capital. I might say, okay, if there are four breakpoints, how many tiers of marginal cost of capital are there? Something along that line. Know the difference between the markets, the capital market versus the money market. Terminology along the way, I mentioned that I would like you to know about debt. I would expect you to know who is the issuer, who is the purchaser in any given relation, in any given transaction. What are different kinds of debt? If I said something is a note, that would have material meaning to it. I could say, well, we can either borrow this money on a note or we can borrow it on commercial paper. I would expect you to know what commercial paper is. Well, let me try this. In what market would commercial paper be transacted? No. No. What? I love it. Yes. Because commercial paper is 30-day paper. It's real short. Short is money markets. Capital markets are the long markets. You need to know risk like a boss. Know the difference between systematic risk and non-systematic risk. Systematic risk
is non-diversifiable. It is in the system. You can't shake it out. Once you've got it for life. It's like herpes. Okay? A few people are crossing their legs there. Non-systematic risk is diversifiable. You can get rid of it. You can shake it out by taking on enough security so that they, if they are not perfectly correlated, then their peculiar volatilities to a small extent each cancel each other out. And if you get enough of them, all that remains is the hum of the risk of the underlying economy itself. Now, do you remember the number I threw out? What would be, where do you really, how many stocks that are fairly unrelated would you want to get into a portfolio to really shake out a goodly amount of the systematic risk, or a non-systematic risk? 30. About 30 does a lot. Now, what are two different instruments that you could purchase that would serve the purpose on their own of portfolio diversification? Give me two. Talk to me. Come on. Actually, probably know it once I say it. I'll give you one of them, mutual funds. Because you're essentially buying into a diversified portfolio right there. What was the other one that I brought up in class that's getting very popular now that allows you diversification? Yeah. Bingo. Yeah, ETFs. Now, the advantage is that they trade like stocks. Mutual funds, you get into the fund, then you have a certain number of trades you can do every year. The upside of the ETFs is you can get in and out, balance your portfolio a lot more rapidly. The downside is there's more transactions cost, of course, with them. You can get into mutual funds that essentially it's really cheap. With ETFs, you've got a lot more flexibility, but there you are. You also pay the price for that. Funny how it works. Okay, but I do want you to know about that. Know what's meant by the market portfolio. It's a theoretical animal out there that would represent every stock in the economy weighted in the portfolio as it is weighted, as the underlying asset is weighted in the economy. You can't have the market portfolio. You don't need it to get a lot of diversification, though. Okay, now know what I mean by the market premium. That's the R sub M, or K sub M minus K sub F. Know what I mean by the risk-free rate. By the way, almost everything I'm saying, I think almost everything that I've said so far will show up in one way or another in part one. It's broad-based. That's why you have a hard time with it. It doesn't mean that you're a dumb person if you struggle with that section. It is wide open. And I can hit you with anything and everything in the course in that section. Let me look at something here. I'm forgetting something important. If I don't mention it, you'll probably fail the exam. Oh, well, I can't think of it. Know the terminology of cash flows. Annuities due, perpetuities. And you should, of course, know the capital asset pricing model. That's enough about the multiple choice. Now, here's the workout section. You will not see any type of problem that you did not see on exam one or exam two. Guaranteed. It will be like deja vu all over again. Except the numbers will be different. I'm not stupid. Okay. Just through the grinder. Let's take this meatloaf. I'm going to expect you to do ratio analysis. You're going to have to calculate some ratios. I'm going to have you do a marginal cost of capital question. I'm going to have you calculate business risk and financial risk, contribution of operating leverage. Remember the volatility, the CVs. You will do that. Oh, yes, you will do that. I'm going to have you calculate the price of a bond, the yield on a bond. Hear me well. Semi-annual. And you give me the answer as a quote, not as a dollar. A quote, not as a dollar. And you calculate semi-annual unless I give you an indication otherwise. Which I might. I might ask you to tell me what it is if the payments are quarterly. But otherwise, you calculate semi-annual. Okay? And very, very similar to what basically identical in many ways to what I did on exam two. And most of you really came shining through on there. Watch out for your rounding, though, for God's sake. Watch out for rounding. Now I'm going to have you calculate a payment, a mortgage payment, or a car payment, or some kind of a loan payment. That's practical for you to know how to do that. So that when the bank tells you a payment that's different, you can say, well, I calculated it myself. Why is it different? And I promise you, it probably will be a little different. You will be right, and so you will have to have the bank explain to you why you're going to make their payment instead of the one you calculated that I taught you how to calculate. And it'll turn out that there are fees that are in there that are hiding, and it'll be nice for you to know how that works. Okay, I'll have you calculate an effective yield, just like I did on the first exam. You will calculate an effective yield. On this exam, I will have you calculate a stock price, just like I did on exam two. Don't make a mistake. I will make it a two-parter so that if you make it through beta, you'll get a... Excuse me. Oh, that was... What the hell was that? Was that like Cthulhu coming up? Boy, that loosened up the chunks. Okay. I'm afraid if I talk, my liver is going to come up. Okay. Okay, I'm back. What the hell was I talking about? I'm hearing different things. Stock price? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll break it into two parts. If you get through and get me beta, you'll get partial credit on this one. And then if you get me my final answer, you get full credit for the stock price. So there will be a little bit of breathing room with a little bit of partial credit in there on that one. And now, let me say something quick. There will be two questions up online Friday. I've had about 10 people send me requests to get if they can have it earlier. No. I want you to have a joyless weekend, a really unhappy weekend. No food, no sex, no sleep. Now, on the marginal cost of capital question, you've seen me do a little bit of variation. In one, I gave you the dividend per share, so that's how you took out the amount from the net income to figure out what was available for in equity for new investments. And then on the exam two, you saw that I gave you just a payout ratio. And that's how you got the amount of dividends to take out of net income. I'm not going to tell you right now which way I'll do it, but know that it could be either way. There's actually even a third way I could do it, too. Whatever way it is, just stay frosty. You're going to get your net income. Don't grow it a year. Next year's net income is not what you have for the coming year's projects. It's the net income I give you. Go through... Get the dividend, find the net income, take the dividend that has just been paid out of it, however you have to find it.
Okay, there are different ways that I can present what the dividend is. Like I said, in the homework problem, I gave it to you dividend per share, and later I gave you the number of shares outstanding. So you took those two and multiplied them. That was your total dividend to take away from net income. Now, in the exam, I gave you a payout ratio that you would use on net income to take out the dividend so that you would see what was available as internally generated equity for use in projects. So it could be either way, and like I said, there's even a third way that I could present to you the amount of dividend that you'd have to take out. I mean, I could actually even just say they paid this total in dividends, and you would take that out too. Just stay frosty, get it done, and hammer through the problem. Don't make a mistake. It's actually a hard problem in finance at the FIL 240 level, but most of you guys get it perfectly by the final exam. Again, volatilities. Don't make a mistake in the volatilities question. I will give you one of those so that you have to calculate the coefficients of variation so that you can figure out the business risk and the contribution of operating leverage to business risk. And then from there, you get your net income risk and you figure out what the contribution of financial leverage was to overall risk. Okay. I'll give you one of those. Those will be the two that will be up online. One for ratio analysis and volatility, the other for marginal cost of capital. And again, obviously, I'm going to ask you about ratios. Make sure you know how to calculate the ratios properly. Two decimal places, you will lose points if you give me something other than two decimal points of places of accuracy as a percent, if it's a percent. And you also have to give me the right units. That will count as part of the answer, too, whether you give me the right units or not in your answers. And that includes dollars, too. What else am I going to ask you? So, essentially, anything from exam one or exam two that was in the workout section is fair game. You know, that way you know the limits, the boundaries on what you could be asked in part two. It's actually, it's not a long section of the exam. Obviously, you're going to have to put in a lot of calculations to get your answers, but it's not like it's going to overwhelm your time. Most of your time, you're going to be slogging in part one, and then finally, we now come to part three. Again, I will give you seven problems. You answer five. One complete sentence only, and do not text me. No pluses for ands and all of that nonsense. I can guarantee you I have business bosses who bitch their heads off at me. What are you teaching them? I got this message from one of my students from ISU. He graduated and we hired him. He's texting me. Don't. Answer in complete, dignified, professional sentences. And again, one sentence only. And I do understand that sometimes these answers seem like you have to write a lot. You don't. And that's what I'm trying to show you how to do here, is to say what you have to say and then go home to dinner. At least three of the questions will be straight off exam one or two. I'll just pull them off and put them on here. They would probably be ones where most of you screwed the pooch. So I can see if you've gotten it right by now. Okay, I'm trying to get you so that you have this kind of discipline that we love to see in the business people, because you're not just graduates of a business school. We're making you graduates of a good business school. So that lockstep, that disciplined way of attacking and answering and showing what you know is one of the hallmarks. Especially, they'll know that you came out of Professor C's classes. Here we go. Let me throw out some that I will expect you to know, to be able to answer. Not all of these would obviously be there, but I'm going to throw out a selection of questions that I expect that you would know how to answer in one complete, clear, cogent sentence. What is the agency dilemma?
What is the risk structure of an interest rate? What is financial intermediation? Distinguish between systematic and non-systematic risk. And what does beta measure? What is the relationship between the yield on a bond and the price of a bond? How would the Federal Reserve, through the domestic trading desk, execute contractionary monetary policy? How would the Federal, I'll repeat that one. How would the Federal Reserve, through the domestic trading desk, execute contractionary monetary policy? What is liquidity? Distinguish among an agent, a broker, and a dealer. What is meant by optimal capital structure? Why are corporations not 100% debt? What is meant by shareholders having the residual claim on the assets of a corporation? Again, what is meant by shareholders having the residual claim on the assets of a corporation? What are the three tools of monetary policy? And which one is the most frequently used? That's enough. Like I said, I want to make sure you have nothing to do this weekend but study. Now it's your turn. Do you have any questions for me? Yes. Okay. On a percent, 100 points. Let's say it's 100 points. I always do everything with a metric of 100, even though its weight will be more in your final calculation. I'm glad you asked that, because I should have said that. This is actually out of 200 points. I always do it at the final out of 200. I don't know why. It's just my tradition. It'll be turned into a percentage of your final grade, obviously. But multiple choice, there's 30 questions, 3 points each. And this will be out of 200 again. Part two will be 85 points. And I can't really give you a breakdown because different problems would have different point values. I'll be a little more specific, though, in a minute. And then part three, each of the five that you answer will be worth 5 points. Now, as far as part two goes, different problems will have, some of them will have many parts to them, and there will be,
One of the things that you'll see is that some questions are like 800-pound gorillas. It's just like, there's 10 points. You get it or you don't. I try to avoid that to a certain extent on the final. I deliberately do it on the exams. But on the final, I try to break it down into munchie-sized pieces, sort of like Reese's Pieces, so that if you blow one thing, it doesn't blow 10 points. I do a little more of that on this. Like I said, with that stock problem, you'll get points if you get the beta, but blow the stock price. So you won't lose the whole amount if you blow the stock price like you would on exam two. Okay? Yeah. Overall, the problem is some of them are a little diverse inside, but overall, how many workout problems are there? Six. Yeah, some of them, like for example, that marginal cost of capital, there's like a ton of little things you answer in there. And with the volatility question, obviously there would be like four different volatilities. I'm asking you for four different volatilities. Go. Yeah, I've got to show them. As a matter of fact, they're hiding because I'm still trying to make sure I've got everyone. When I put the grades up, you go in there. If you see that there's something that is not a correct grade, just send me a quick message and I'll fix it. So, because some of those will have some errors in them. I didn't add points that I had said I would and all that. So just let me know and I'll fix it. And I should have that up probably on Saturday sometime. Yeah. Once I'm sure I've got it as good as I can. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's 1 hour and 50 minutes. I'm sorry. The finals are 1 hour and 50 minutes, if I'm not mistaken. And if you're still here after 1 hour and 55 minutes, I will shoot you with a tranquilizer to relax you. The final exam, just to be honest with you, I just from all the years I've been doing finals just like this one or very similar to this one, most of you can get it done in about an hour and 15 to an hour and 20 minutes. Hour and 15 to an hour and 30 minutes. Just go back. Make sure you haven't made a stupid calculation mistake. Second-guessing yourself in multiple-choice questions. I'm not going to tell you whether to do it or not, but analyses that I have actually done myself on erasures, on Scantrons, about, I did this over at the community college just this past last semester. 70% of the erasures were of a right answer, and so the person got it wrong. Second guessing yourself, you should do it only when you are darn sure that you were smoking crack cocaine when you gave your first answer. Okay. Second-guessing yourself is dangerous. If you don't know an answer, just walk around it. Put a little mark or something on your test, and then just move on and come back to it. Don't let any problem stop you in your tracks, because that will be what will kill you on time. If you stay frosty, you work from the beginning to the end, just walk around the trouble spots and go back to them, you should be finished within about, easily within an hour and a half. Okay, anything else? Yeah. A deck of them. No. I'm going to give you two. Two. Okay. By the way, why the hell are you dressed like that? Look at that. You look actually scary. Yes. You look like a boss. Jesus Christ, you could fire people, okay? That's not bad at all. Not bad, anyway. Okay, what else do you want to ask?
Can you do a treasury bill?
Say what?
Can you do a T-bill?
Yeah, I'll do a T-bill for you. Be happy to. It's really easy to do them. Would you like it done just straight up, or do you want the auction with the auction lady? No, you have to choose. Is it going to be a straight problem on the board, or do you want the auction lady?
The
Okay, the auction lady. We are going, you have decided that you want to go to a treasury bill auction. There's one happening today, and you want to buy yourself a treasury bill. And so you are going to walk, you walk into the auction, and you're looking at the table of T-bills. They're all due in 1 year, and you're kind of kicking the tires of them. And I come up to you. Now, I am Madge. Madge is the auction lady. Hello there. Aren't you a cute young man? My God, you're strapping. Look at those wife beater muscles on you. God bless you. What do you want today? Are you here for a treasury bill? Well, we got a really nice one here. It's got some gold filigree on it. Would you like that one? Here you go. Okay, well, now, okay, we got a lot of people here at the auction. So they're going off at good prices. You know, in a year, you're going to get $1,000. So don't you try to mess with me today. What do you want to pay for this treasury bill that I'm going to offer you? And if you order before midnight, we will sell you a Ronco Vegematic. It slices, it dices, it makes julienne fries. Now, isn't that amazing? Oh, sorry. Wrong script. Go ahead.
$5.
Fire my ass. $985 you'll pay for it. The price you're going to, you say, I should like that one for $985. Hey, Phil! $1,985, drag it through the garden. And so you pay $985 for this. Now, in 1 year, how much will you get?
$1,000.
We know that. The face value is always $1,000. You remember that to the day you die, because when you go to the pearly gates, St. Peter is going to be there and he's going to say, what is the face value of a bond? And if you can't answer him, you will go to hell. $1,000. So now, what is the dollar interest that you earned in over a period of exactly 1 year? How much interest did you earn? You paid $985. The government sent you $1,000. So how much in interest did you earn? That's not complicated. $15. Tell me that you see that. $15. You're using your calculator to do that. $15. So now we can find the yield. So now we can find the yield on this instrument. How much? Yeah.
1.52%.
Hang on. Let's get through through it so that we do each piece. The yield, we would calculate. How much did you invest? Okay, well, I got $15 in interest. What was my investment? If you say put $1,000 in the denominator, I will give you a nuclear wedgie. You do not put $1,000. $985 is what you invested, so your yield is going to be 15 over 985. I see why you were using your calculator now. And what did you say that was?
I got 1.52%.
Yeah. 985 divided by, well, let's try that again with 15 divided by 985. And you get 1.52%. is the yield on that instrument. There we go. Okay, so now that's how you do it. Let's take it to the limit, okay? Because I did both parts of it in that early lecture, and so at this last lecture, I am going to give you the full thing again. A year later, you had a successful, you got your $15, you had dinner with a date at Denny's, grand slams for both of you, and now you want to have a date again in a year. So oh, there you are again, my goodness, you came back for another auction. We don't have as many people here buying them. What does that tell you you're going to be able to do if there aren't as many buyers? Good, good. You're still not going to get your damn $5 one, but you'll get it cheap. Okay.
Okay, well, my goodness, you're still looking pretty good, but aren't you married yet? My goodness, you're not one of those coaches at Penn State, are you? My goodness.
Oh! I'm going to hell.
See you there.
Okay. So, because there aren't as many people buying them, he can get a bargain. I'll tell you what, we'll give you a bargain. Go ahead. What kind of a price are we going to have for you today? I'll tell you what, we'll sell you one at $965. $965, and we'll get you one of those that has some pretty little leaflet stuff around the sides of it, and you'll be able to frame it. And go, Phil, one $965, drag it through the garden. Add a little Viagra to it. The boy doesn't get any dates. Now, what are you going to get in a year? Well, how much are you going to get 1 year from today when you buy this? $1,000. So your interest that you earn in 1 year is going to be the difference between what you paid and what you got. And in this case, it'll be $965 up to $1,000. So you got $35. Your yield on this will then be how much interest you made, $35, over how much you invested, $965. Do not put $1,000 in that denominator, for God's sake. And so in this case, we will be able to take $35 divided by $965, and we'll get 3.63%. And so we now come to the end of this rainbow that has been our time together with one of the first of the principles of finance that I taught you. What is the relationship between the price of a security and the yield on the security? As the price of a security falls, the yield, all other things being equal, the yield goes, humor me. What is it? What do you see? Price went down, yield went. So in other words, in all of finance, the cheaper, the higher the yield, but the higher the yield, the higher the risk, absolutely. It's like a lockstep. Price, yield, and risk are all interrelated in capital and in financial markets in general. So you keep that in mind and you will learn one of the most important concepts in finance. That's all I have for you today and for this semester. I thank you.